right. Well, good morning, everybody. A couple of announcements before we get going. Hi, my name's Clayton. I'm the senior pastor here. If you don't know me, nice to meet you. Good to see you here today. Man, we got a whole crew here. Big, giant family reunion. Looks like VBS going on right here. That's what it looks like to me. But hey, so glad you guys are here. If you're watching with us online, don't forget, you can go on and you can also follow along with the sermon. Whether you're online or you're in here right now, you can go to our couple things. You can take a picture of this with your phone, and that QR code will send you straight to the message notes. Also, I was reminded today or this week that, hey, Pastor, you need to get the Central Baptist app on your iPhone. And I didn't have the app on my phone yet. And so I've got the app, and you can pull that up, and all the message notes are on there as well. You can just click on it. Man, it's just going to take you straight there, and you can fill in the notes. And like I say every week, there's also a way to cheat and get all the notes already filled out for you. But if you'd like to fill those out, that'd be great, and follow along today. So, excuse me, a couple things. One, I'll make a couple announcements. One is that Debbie DeLaley, our executive ministry assistant, she runs the office here at Central, and she is retiring next month. And so Debbie's run over there with her husband, and man, she has been incredible at Central. She's been working here for 19 years. Can you believe that? 19 years. So man, I just wanted to take a moment and thank you for all you've done. Y'all give her a big round of applause. Debbie does so much stuff that y'all will never know all the things that she does around the office. She runs the place and keeps us all in line, and we're very grateful for her and her ministry. But she wants to retire. She wants to spend more time with Sam and just live life with the two of them and with their kids. And she's excited about that. And we're excited for her. But we've known about it for a while, and we've been planning and preparing for a transition in her role as the executive ministry assistant, who is my secretary, but also runs the office. I mean, just takes care of everything. And so we have hired a new person to do that. We've just shifted some roles around, and Danya Ledford, right over here in the back, is going to be taking that position. So she pretty much runs the church now. That's what I'm trying to say. So next month, we're going to have that transition time. We'll have a time to celebrate Debbie and everything and she's done, and also to celebrate Danya and the exciting times ahead as she helps us here at Central Baptist Church. Second thing is this. On Tuesday night, you guys all, if you go to Wausau Public Schools, you probably heard about how we were going to be on campus, and now we're no longer going to be on campus. The kids are. They're going to have to go to virtual learning, and we were bummed out about that. Some of you guys may be excited, but man, our house, we were ready to go back to school. In fact, we moved here in March, and our kids have not been at school yet, and so we were excited about them actually starting and seeing people and meeting new friends, but everything's kind of changed a little bit, and so the next morning, we came to work, and all the staff, we got together, and we just began to think and pray, and we felt God calling us to do something as a church, and so we have actually started to create a ministry. We don't have all the information and all the answers, but we want to let you know something that's coming down the road here in the next couple weeks. School starts August the 24th, and so by that time, we're going to have in place this new ministry called Central Academy. And what it is a chance for you, if you work and you have kids and you're going, how in the world are we going to juggle this thing, this online learning with our kids at home, and I've got to go to work and all that kind of stuff. For our Central Baptist Church members, we're creating this opportunity for your kids to come onto campus Monday through Friday. They'll be here, kids separated, elementary, junior high, high school. They'll all be separated. There's safety protocols we're working through and everything. A chance for them to actually do all their schoolwork here on campus. We'll have adults supervision and people taking care of them and helping them. They'll have lunch. They'll bring their own lunch. We'll have rec time. Noah's going to have some stuff outside. They're going to have just a great time. It's going to be like school here at Central. It's also going to be available for our GCK workers so that their kids, their elementary age kids, will be able to do that as well. So it's just an awesome opportunity ministry that we are working on so that our members and our GCK people and honestly a lot of people in our community can have some normalcy in life, right? Some things can get back to normal a little bit, go back to work. and provide an opportunity. Several months ago, we preached a sermon, and we talked about how we need to, when we see a need, we need to fill a need. That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ. And we see a need. We don't have all the answers yet, and it's going to be difficult, but we feel like this is what God's calling us to do. So just want to let you guys know about that. We'll have registration for that here pretty soon, and it's going to be a great way for us as a church to bless other people. So we need your help. If you have an opportunity and you feel God may be calling you to help volunteer, whether it's Monday through Friday or just part of the week, please let us know, call the office, and we would love to partner together to do this thing right, okay? So, man, last week we talked about, I'm going to move this over a little bit. Last week we talked about we are God's kids, and we talked about how that is a great privilege. We were in 1 Peter, and we're kind of working through that, and it's a great privilege to be called one of God's kids, but also there's a great responsibility with that. There's a huge responsibility. And so that's last week what we talked about. And this week, we're going to talk about this. It's a quarter. And just bear with me. It'll make sense in a second. So when I was growing up, I had the chance to be one of the captains of my high school soccer team and my club soccer team growing up. And before every game, we would go out to midfield, and the referee would be there, and the other team's captains would be there, and we'd shake hands or fist bump, whatever we do. And the referee would, you know, talk us through the game. Here's how it's going to happen. Here's what's going to go on. And then they would take a quarter out, and they would flip that quarter. And I'll tell you what, I always chose heads, okay? I didn't want to jinx myself, you know, by going like heads and tails and whatever. So I always chose heads, and this is the honest truth. I was right 50% of the time. And so why do we flip a coin? We flip a coin because there are two polar opposites, right? There are two sides that are completely different from each other. And in this passage today, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week, we were in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're in chapter 2 today, and Peter describes two different kinds of people. The first people are God's people. That's one side of the coin. And then the second type of people are those who are far from God, those who are running from God. And he says this in halfway through verse 8, and that's what we're going to start today. Here's what he says. It says, they stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. So he says, this is one side of the coin, the people who stumble, and they stumble over a stone that is in their way. And that stone is Christ. And they don't even realize it, but they're stumbling over Christ. And he says, here's how they stumble over Christ. They disobey God's word. Well, God's word is the gospel. And he's not talking about people who do bad things. He's not talking about people who mess up. Because, man, we all mess up. We all do things bad sometimes. I mean, every day. I mean, that's me, right? Every day I sin and I mess up. But he's saying, he's talking about people who reject the gospel. People who go completely against the gospel. He says, this is one side of the coin. These are one type of people. And then he flips the coin over. And Peter begins to describe another kind of people. And I want us to read this. This is going to be our main verse for today. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the very next verse. Here's what it says. It says, but you are not like that, for you're a chosen people. You're a royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. The simplest terms, the simplest way I can explain it today, we could say this is the whole message, is this. You're different. You are this side of the coin. You're different, so act like it. God has called you out of a certain way of life, a way that maybe you used to live, that other side of the coin. And God in your life, through Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through your faith in him, he's flipped that coin over in your life. And now you are different. He's saying, so stop running back to that way of living. You're supposed to be different. And so today, here's the title for the message. This is the main point for today. It's this, that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. So what in the world is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is a representative of a nation, right? Simple as that, a representative of a nation. They are someone who is sent to a foreign land and they reflect the official position of that country they came from, or the leader that is in charge of that nation. That's what an ambassador does. And throughout the entire New Testament, Peter and Paul especially, they describe their role in life, their ministry as being an ambassador. And they not only say that that is their role, but he says this is who all believers are. All believers are called to be ambassadors. And so what I want to do this morning is just I want to explore real quickly throughout the New Testament some areas and some ways that we are ambassadors for Christ. So here's number one. We have a critical job. The first thing we understand about being an ambassador is that we have a critical job. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "For we speak as messengers approved by God to get this." This is crazy. "To be entrusted with the good news. And our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts." Now, this is a tough verse, because what the Bible is saying is that you and I have been given something. Not only that, but God has the Bible says, entrusted us with something. And that something is the gospel. He has given us this message, and he's trusting us with it. To do what? Well, to tell people about Jesus and to live our lives in such a way that people see Jesus in our actions. It's a big responsibility. And here's how God has it all set up. God's plan for all of mankind, his love for all of mankind, his plan for mankind is us, which is crazy. I'm like, God, why? I mean, you could save everybody in an instant and take care of all of this, but no, God has a different kind of plan. And his plan is to use you and me as ambassadors for Christ. And in your own life, at home, in your job, when you're out in the community, and at school, hopefully someday soon, you are God's plan for those people that you interact with. Number two. We are ambassadors because we represent another kingdom. Look at this. In John chapter 18, Jesus is talking in verse 36, and he says, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders." He says, "But my kingdom is not of this world." Here's what he's saying. My kingdom is not this earth. My kingdom is heaven. And that's what Jesus is saying. And so if we are his kids, if we are God's kids, then our home is not earth as well. Our home is somewhere different. Our home is in heaven. And you might say, that doesn't make any sense, Clayton, because I've lived my entire life here on this earth. This is my home. Well, let me kind of explain this a little bit to you. Have you turned on the news lately? How terrible it is? Man, I go online and watch or read the news, and it's just... it's depressing. Man, so many bad things are happening. I mean, with this coronavirus, everything is just crazy. The whole world seems like it's going crazy. And I just look at it and go, man, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this world. There's sin that just kind of blankets all of creation. And everything's just different. It's not how it was supposed to be. And I look at my life, I look at everybody's lives, and I realize, man, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of backstabbing. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of hardships in this life. And you go, and I just think, man, this is not our home. This is not how it was supposed to be. But I'm telling you what, God has us there, has us here for a special purpose. And so if heaven is not our home, number three, we live on foreign soil. So if heaven is our home, we live on foreign soil. John 17, 14 through 16 says this. Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them." He's praying to the Father, and he says, "For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." And he says this, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it either." Here's something I've realized about U.S. embassies. It's profound. Y'all ready for this? U.S. embassies are not in the United States. Okay? And if U.S. embassies are not in the United States, then U.S. ambassadors who live in these embassies and work in these embassies, they are not living in the United States either. Majority of their time, when they're in that role, they are living overseas somewhere else. And I've kind of realized one truth as I was studying this week about this passage. I've realized one truth about the Christian life, and it's this. Your role, whatever God has called you to, it dictates your placement. And I think sometimes in life we're like, you know, I wish I was just something different. I wish God had called me to something different. I wish my life was better, or it was like somebody else's. I'm telling you what, for all you students in here, your role is specific. Your role dictates your placement. God has called you to be a student, so he's placed you in that. You know what? For your grandparents in this room, God has called you to be have a specific role, and so he's put you in that position. And that position is on a foreign soil. This is not our home, and God has called us to something different. So as ambassadors for Christ, number four, we must be smart. If we live on foreign soil, if our home is in heaven, but God has called us to something really specific, a critical job, to take the gospel to everywhere we go, we must be smart. Matthew 10:16 says this. Jesus says, behold, and he's about to send out a bunch of the disciples to go out and do ministry. And he says this, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And I love this verse. I call this my bird hunting verse, okay? So when I was we used to live in West Texas, and man, back there, it's just flat and dry. There's mesquite trees, and it's just a great place to go bird hunting. And so we'll go out and we'll go dove hunting, and you can just see forever. But the truth is about West Texas is that not only are there a lot of dove, but there are a lot of snakes, okay? Snakes are everywhere in West Texas. And so every time you go bird hunting in West Texas, you're looking up in the sky, and then you look down. And you look up in the sky, and you look down. Why? Because there's snakes everywhere. And I'm always scared that I'm going to step on a snake or get close to a snake, and a rattlesnake's going to bite me, and my day is going to be ruined. It's going to be terrible. I have a great story to tell, but it'd be awful. I don't go through that pain. And so when you're bird hunting out there, Matt, that's just how it is. And I look at these snakes, and I'm like, man, I just hate snakes. Why do people hate snakes? One, they bite, I mean, obviously. But I think it's because I feel like they're really smart. Like they got it all figured out, and they're always looking at me, and they're never like asleep, and they never have their back turned to you. I mean, they're always just ready to strike. That's how I look at snakes. I'm like, man, that's what I think that's what the Bible's saying is, man, you need to be wise like a snake, always ready. But also, you're supposed to be innocent as doves. So when you're bird hunting, you know, the doves just kind of, they kind of float around, you know, and then you can just shoot them. It's great. It's awesome. It's kind of like two sides to the same coin, right? In Ephesians 4:15, Paul says this, we will speak the truth, not in harshness or arrogance, not demeaning other people. He says, here's how we're going to live our lives in a foreign land. We're going to speak the truth in love. So how can we be smart? So as an ambassador for Christ, we're supposed to be smart in our actions and the way we live. Well, Ephesians 5, the next chapter in verses 15 and 16 says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Because the days, man, they're evil. It says, man, look carefully how you walk. Every time I wake up in the morning, every time you wake up in the morning, what do? Probably flip a light on, okay, if it's dark. If you don't have sun coming through the shades, through the window, you flip a light on. Why? Because when you have little kids, you don't want to step on a Lego, right? That's awful. It's terrible. That hurts really bad. Man, in my house now, my two dogs, they just kind of sleep wherever they want to now. And so sometimes they're just in the middle of the floor or right in a doorway, and it's awful. And that'll really wake you up in the morning, tripping over a dog, won't it? Man, you're just kind of groggy, and all of a sudden you trip and fall, and you're wide awake. But man, what do? You turn the light on. You open your eyes. And that's what God is saying, that we, as we live our lives as believers in Christ in a foreign land, we need to look carefully how we walk. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are short. We need to make the best use of the time. Here's what I think he's saying. He said, you need to realize this, that we're always on the job. You don't have days off as a Christian. You know what? Here's what happens kind of in our society today, especially for younger people, that you live like a Christian life when you're in public and with your people, and then you go online and you live a different kind of life. But that's not the reality that is our existence. We are always on call. We are always on the job. And so we can't be Christians here at church and then go to the grocery store and be a jerk to someone because they couldn't find the product that you were looking for. Or you go to the restaurant here in a minute and the waitress is having a bad day and you just tear them up and down. And the tip you give them is some advice on the ticket, right? That's terrible. That's not how God has called us to live. He has called us to be different, to be wise as serpents, but also innocent as doves. Why? Here's the deal. Because people are always watching you. They're always watching you. And for parents in this room, you know what I'm talking about. Because your kids are always watching you. And so you grow up, you start having kids, and you're like, man, my kids grow up, I want them to be this certain way. And all of a sudden, they start acting. You're like, what? Acting out. And you're like, well, why are they saying that? Why are they talking about that? Why are they acting like that? And you realize, well, that's what I do. Okay? I tell them not to do something, but then I act a different way. Well, our kids are always watching us. And people in this society, people who are not foreigners, people that this is their home, people that are far from Christ, they're on one side of the coin. They are watching how the other side of the coin lives. And finally, as Christ's ambassadors, we must go where he sends us. Number 5, we must go where he sends us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And get this, you will be my witnesses where? Telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you know what the problem is with a lot of ambassadors, like American ambassadors? Is that if they are tenured and they've been there for a long time, what happens is they start to act like that's their home. They start taking on the customs and the practices of the foreign nation where they're at. Maybe even looking to their interests more than the interests of the United States, the people that are employing them, the people that have called them to be ambassadors somewhere. They've gotten comfortable where they're at. And I wonder, in our lives, have we gotten comfortable living here in a foreign land where our lives are all about trying to be comfortable? Instead of realizing everywhere I go, whether I'm at school, whether I'm at home, whether I'm walking through my neighborhood, when I'm at the grocery store, when I'm driving and someone cuts me off, am I realizing that this is not my home and I am called to live differently? I'm not supposed to get comfortable with how I act. Because here's the reality, God may move you. He may move you physically. He may move like you to a new location. You may have to move homes. You may have to move jobs. But a lot of times, God moves us in our social interactions. So all of a sudden, we're at a different school. All of a sudden, we're at a different socioeconomic situation, and we're rubbing shoulders with people that maybe we never would have rubbed shoulders with. And the reality is, sometimes we can just get comfortable and just live life for ourselves. But when we are living for Christ, here's what happens. We realize and recognize that God has put us there for a specific reason. And we're supposed to go wherever he sends us. And I love the book of Isaiah because it points to Jesus a whole lot. But in chapter 6, Isaiah has a glimpse of heaven, and God allows him to see some incredible things. And all of a sudden, he realizes that he is a sinner in the middle of perfection and a holy God, and he says, woe is me. And we know the story that an angel takes a coal and symbolically puts it on his lips to cleanse him of his sins. And then God says this in verse 8. He says, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? And who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I. He raises his hand. He says, here am I, send me. And this is what it means, guys, to be an ambassador for Christ. So a couple of things. How can I be an ambassador for Christ? How does this all work out? Well, let's go back to 1 Peter in chapter 2. We're going to skip verse 10. We're going to jump right into verse 11. Here's what it says. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, okay, that's who we are. We're temporary residents and foreigners, to do this, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Here's what Peter is saying. He's saying, this is not your home, and you're called to represent Christ with your words and your deeds. So do this. Here's what I believe he's saying when he says keep away. I believe he's saying this, strengthen your perimeter. As believers in Christ, as ambassadors, we need to strengthen our perimeter. Let me give you an example of that. So if you've ever been overseas and you've gone by the U.S. Embassy, you see that American flag, you're like, oh, you're proud of that, of it. But you know what else is at every U.S. Embassy? Really tall walls and strong gates and Marines on guard. Why? Because they are oftentimes in a place that doesn't share the same values, or they're in a place that's in a hostile environment than that of the United States. So if someone wanted to hurt the United States at an embassy, what would they do? Would they go to like the strongest part of the wall? No. If someone's really smart, they're gonna go around, they're gonna observe and take a look and see if there's any place that there is a lack of security or the wall is maybe a little bit lower. I think that's what Satan tries to do in our lives. So if I go back to that coin illustration, so we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us as believers in Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives every day, trying to make us more and more like Christ, convicting us of our sins, calling us to live differently. But on the other side of that coin is our flesh. And Satan loves to just stir up our flesh every single day to cause us to mess up and cause us to sin and cause us to fall. And he doesn't attack us in our strongest places. He attacks us in our weakest places. And I know for all of us in this room, we can go, and if we had time to write those things down, we could probably write down in our own lives, what are our weak points? Maybe your weak point is habitual sin in your life that as a believer in Christ that you struggle with, but you're like, you know what? That's just who I am. You know what? Satan has gotten in. That's your weak point. He's gotten in. He stirs that up. Maybe your weak point is your attitude. Maybe, you know what? You know, like, I don't feel like I'm a big sinner. I don't do bad things, but you're just a jerk to everybody, right? You're just rude to everybody. And the way you live your life, people don't see Christ in you. They see sin in you. And Satan is able to just get in. And he can't kill your soul. He can't take Christ out of your life. But you know what he can do? He sure can ruin your ambassadorship. He can keep you from being a good ambassador for Christ. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to strengthen our perimeters. And this is what Jesus says back in John chapter 17 when he's saying that prayer, we were reading that a while ago. He's saying this prayer to the Father. And he says, my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world. That's not my prayer. I'm not asking you, God, to pluck them out of this world because we have called them to be in this world. He says, that's not my prayer. My prayer is that you would protect them. That you would protect them from the evil one. And so here's this morning, if God is calling you to live differently, he's calling you to do something, you're like, you know what? Man, I'm not being a very good ambassador for Christ. I should live differently. That thing in my life, that weak point in my wall, I need to shore that up. I need to strengthen the perimeter of life so I can be a good ambassador. If God is calling you to do that, here's my advice to you. Simple as this. Do it. Okay? Do it. Take those steps to change your life. You know what that is? That is God protecting you. If God is convicting you to do something, he's protecting you. The Holy Spirit is convicting you to change your life. So we need to strengthen our perimeter. And let's go on to the next verse in verse 12. Here's what it says. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. It says, be careful to live properly among people who are different than you. Man, that can be tough sometimes. Honestly, that really can be tough. Because the rest of the world, you know what they want to do? They really want to discredit believers. They want to discredit you from, they may have an understanding of what Christianity is, and they may be like, you know what, I love Jesus, I just hate the church, right? I love Jesus, I like Jesus, I like the things he has to say, you know, I even like the Bible, but man, those believers, those Christians, man, they're awful. They're terrible. And what they do is they want to trip you up. They want to discredit you. And this is what Peter is saying. He's saying, be careful how you live. Be careful how you live so that when they do try to accuse you of doing something wrong, you can say, you know what? Mm-mm. So you can walk out into your neighborhood freely every day knowing that, you know what? I wasn't rude to that neighbor and I waved at him. You go to the grocery store and you know that everywhere I walk, everybody, no one can say that, man, that guy, that lady, man, she's rude. Because I remember what happened last week when she was in the grocery store and she was having a bad day and she made everybody else have a bad day, right? He's saying, man, be careful how you live. Live properly. Then here's what's going to happen. When they try to accuse you, here's what's going to happen. They're going to see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Here is what Peter is saying. He's saying this, live life on purpose. The final point for today, live life on purpose. Matthew 5:16 says, you know, let your light shine before men. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, but now you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before men. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to see your good works and they're going to give glory to God. So how in the world can we let our light shine? How in the world can we live life on purpose? Well, I love what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to close with this. In verse 19, he starts and he's describing how to be a believer in Christ. He says, here is how you become an ambassador. Here's how you live as an ambassador for Christ. He says, even though I am free, I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I am not subject to the law. And I did this so that I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. And then he goes on in verse 21 and says, when I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. And he finishes up and says this, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. And he says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Here is what Paul says. He says, as believers in Christ, we have a standard. We have this foundation of conduct, which is the law of Christ, meaning being and doing what God has called us to do, living a holy life based on God's word, okay? So he's saying, hey, I am not going to be someone who is going to go and sin to try to win people to Christ. He says, I have this standard. I'm going to live a holy life. But apart from sinning, I'm going to try to do everything I can to win people to Christ. I'm going to be like them. I'm going to do everything I can to be like them. I always love to watch missionaries and how they live their lives. And so American missionaries, they go overseas. You know what they start to do? Instead of dressing like an American, instead of doing things that are like American way of doing things, instead of eating like an American, you know what they do? They start to live differently. They start to dress a different way. They start to go out to eat and eat things that maybe they would never go and do back in the United States. Man, I've been over to India. I've eaten some things over there, and I'm just, oh, man, it was rough. It was rough. It was really bad. But, man, our friends, they were missionaries over there. They were living that way. Why? Because they were doing everything they can to win people to Christ. The last verse here says that Paul is trying to find common ground with them so he can share Christ with them. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live life on purpose. And verse 23 closes and says, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. And this is the end result for today, that those who are far from Christ, those who are opposed to Christ, who are on this side of the coin, that they would see the other side of the coin. They would see us, and they would come to faith in Christ. That is the point. And so that is the message today for believers in this room. But I think this message is also for unbelievers. And I have two verses to share with you real quick to close. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's what it says. I just want to read it. It describes why we are Christ's ambassadors. So if you're not a Christian in this room, man, this message is for you. This is why Christians are the way that they are. It says this, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. You want God to speak into your life? You want God to show up in your life? He is. And he's doing that through Christians. And he's doing that through Christians obeying God's word and telling you about Jesus. He says, we speak for Christ when we plead. We are begging you. He says this, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is our appeal to you this morning. God is making an appeal through us, through his word, through the preaching of his word this morning, to come back to Christ, to be on the other side of that coin, to have purpose in your life, to have hope in your life. But ultimately, more than anything, than any of that, is to be saved. It's to have your sins taken care of so that you can call this place not your home and you can call heaven your home one day. That is the purpose of the gospel. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your message today. Thank you, God, for everyone here in this room, everyone that's represented, all the families in here, all the families that are watching online. And God, I pray that we would be convicted of our sin, that we would be convicted that if we are not living a life of faith, if we are not being ambassadors for Christ in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, in our families, if we are not representing you well, God, I pray that you would convict us of those things, that you would help us to change our ways, that we would begin to live life on purpose. That we begin to strengthen the perimeter in our lives. If there is sin that's keeping us from being a good representative of Christ, I pray, God, that you would help us to put those things aside and run to you. That we would not give in to our flesh, but God, we would give in to the Holy Spirit working in our lives every single day. So, Lord, we can be a good representative of you because, God, that is why you've put us on this earth, to be ambassadors for Christ. Everywhere we go, and it may be overseas, but it also might be next door. So help us, God, to recognize those opportunities and to live for you. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who cannot claim to be an ambassador for Christ, who says, I don't know what this is all about because I am far from Christ. I don't know what it means to give my life to Jesus. This is all foreign to me. God, I pray if you're calling them to be a believer in Christ today, to save them from their sins today, for them to put their faith in you today, God, I pray that they would do that. So for everyone in this room, if there's anyone in this room who has never trusted in Jesus, man, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're not going to call you down the front and embarrass you, but when we finish, when we dismiss, to your right over here is a connections room. We have pastors over there. They'd love to sit down with you one-on-one and get to know you and just talk with you. If there are any of you who would like to give your life to Jesus today, to ask him to save you from your sins, and to put your faith and trust in him, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And so, God, we want to close this service out by saying this. We thank you. Thank you for doing all the work. That we don't have to struggle through this life to get right with you. God, you make us right through faith in Christ. You've done all the work. And so we're blessed. But God, that blessing comes with a big responsibility. And that responsibility is to go and tell other people and to show other people the love of Christ. Help us to do that as a church. Help us to do that as families. And help us to do that individually. For your glory, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, let's close our service by standing up. If y'all would stand up with me, we want to say our purpose statement. It's something we do every week, and we do that so that we can go out of this place knowing that here is why we exist as believers in Christ, and especially as Central Baptist Church. And so it's right up here on the screen. But remember, if you'd like to make any decision for Christ, if you'd like to join our church, if you'd like to talk with one of our staff about what it means to be a believer in Christ, they're right over here. They're standing up right over there. They'd love to meet with you. They'll stay here as long as you want. So let's say this together as we close. At Central Baptist Church, we exist to live for Christ, to love people, and make disciples. Thank you guys for being here. Y'all are dismissed.